Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. As we look at this psalm, it is a psalm of great encouragement, I believe. A psalm which is referred to as one of the psalms of ascent as they went up to the city of Jerusalem to worship, and as the Levites did sing the psalm, this was a testimony and a witness of the abiding and everlasting love of God for his people. It is labeled the Traveler's Psalm, perhaps because when this psalm was reflected upon, it may have been thought of many times as they may have been traveling, perhaps as the Old Testament saint was outside the city of Jerusalem and was looking toward the city of Jerusalem and was reflecting upon the goodness and greatness of God. They did look unto the hills, and they were reminded that that holy city was there, and the temple wherein they directed their worship was also there. And so the Lord and his strength and his help was in their vision as they looked toward that direction. The first verse here, which we see, reminds us of that very thought that the hills about Judea were inhabited by the people of God and was the place of worship. That is, even as the Mount of Olives was in that vicinity, and as that mount called Moriah was the platform whereon the temple was built, the Solomonic Temple. And even today we find that it is a sacred site to not only the Jewish people, but to Christians, and even to the Arab and Muslim people. It is a site which is revered. And so to look to the hills is to be reminded of that one who created the very hills. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Notice the second verse says, my help. The word cometh is supplied, and it's, so you could read it, my help from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. As one commentator said, the reading of the King James is much preferred to that of the other translations because there is no question mark after the first verse in the King James. In some of the other translations, they put a question mark there because some of the translators did not connect it directly with the God of creation. But the King James makes no mistake as to do that. In fact, the flow of the words are clearly connected between verse 1 and verse 2. And so we should take it that way. And there is nothing in the psalm to indicate to us that the psalm reflects anything but that God is not only the creator of the mountains, but God is the one whom one looks to as one looked toward Jerusalem and unto that holy city of God. And therefore, the psalm is called the Traveler's Psalm. Also, we note that in verse 2 that he says, "My help from the Lord, which made heaven and earth," as God is the creator of all things. And so he made the heavens, and he made the earth, and he made all they that dwell therein, as also one of the Psalms reflects. I believe the 100th Psalm is quite similar, perhaps in the same reading in that regard. Let me just turn back there just for a moment. Says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth unto all generations." Just as this psalm is a psalm of gladness and thanksgiving, and the flow of the psalm obviously reflects very positively upon God, and that we are a part of his creation, along with all of his created aspects. In Psalm 121, we also find a similar flow of the reading. In fact, as we move on to verse 3, he says, "To those who were saints and called of God," to those who are looking unto the Lord, he says, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber." You know, as we think of the heathen nations around about the city of Jerusalem, around about Judea, they had many gods, but they were asleep. In fact, as Elijah was upon Mount Carmel, he taunted the prophets of Baal with that very thing. "Are they asleep? Why do they not answer you?" And so Elijah had much to say about the stupidity of the stone gods of Baal and the prophets who worship them. Our God does not slumber, nor does he sleep. And we find that he is ever with us to encourage us and to bless us and to minister to us of those things that are so significant to our relationship with him. God is our guardian, as it were. Sometimes we speak about our guardian angels, but God is ever on the watch for us. One commentator made this remark: "Alexander the Great told his soldiers, 'I wake that you may sleep.' But God does not have to wake up to be a watchman. God ever is watching over his beloved. And so he is much greater than any other conqueror, king, potentate, lord, or person who was of great import in the world. And so throughout the hours of our lives, whether it be during the day or during the evening, God is ever on guard and is ever watching over us in our needs. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." The closeness of God to his people was unquestionable, was without question. God did preserve his people. He preserved his people through Egypt, through the wilderness, through the land of Canaan as the enemies came against the people of God. He preserved his people upon every occasion and embraced them as a father embraces a child, and he was very close unto his own. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Using the, arid climate of the region to express a feeling of emotion that God has toward his own people. We think about shade in the Middle East. Probably it would have been a prized possession to have shade during the day. May even remind you of a certain prophet who went to the city of Nineveh and was very thankful for a certain gourd that grew up and shaded him. And we are reminded that that prophet, though he was somewhat reluctant to do the work of a prophet, and though he became quite discouraged over the fact that that gourd died as quickly as it grew up, he could not deny the fact that God had provided it. We should always recognize God's hand at work in our lives to take care of us, to protect us, and to give us those graces for each day, as this reminds us that we do have those various graces of God which are bestowed upon us, and they are without question from God. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night, as the heat of the sun during the day could become very hot, and as the evenings could become very cold. Therefore, we find in the Middle East, they often wore types of clothing that could be used as a covering at night. And Jesus even spoke about that clothing that the people wore in his day. If a man asked for your coat, give him your cloak also. Those double layers of clothing were necessary to various needs of weather and climate in the Middle East, and the sun could be very warm and the evenings could be very cold. God also is that one who protects us against the elements of life, not just climate, but the elements of life, as there are many kinds of elements that come against us, spiritual as well as those things material or physical. As we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and we find that we need as much protection concerning those spiritual realities as we do concerning those physical realities that we encounter. God is our protector. God is our keeper. God preserves us against those things that might smite us, whether they be during the day or during the night. Perhaps you have had a very bad evening when you went to bed, and you woke up with a sense of dread that maybe you had been under some spiritual attack in the evening. And who did you cry out to but God? Where was your first prayer directed but to the Lord? And how were you relieved of your anxiety but as you called upon the Savior? And so God is our protector in many different ways. Verse 7, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. As we think about the physical aspect of life and the material aspect of life, it is singular only in that it is surpassed by the spiritual aspect of our life. Body, soul, and spirit. We truly are a trichotomy in that sense. And we find that God preserves us from all evil. And he preserves our soul. Who is truly our Savior but our God? Who is that one that redeems us according to his mercies and grace but God himself? He sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might know him as that Redeemer from ages past, even from eternity. For he says that he called us before the foundations of the world, and that he has secured us according to his will and his blessing. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Well, we don't live forevermore here on the earth. But God does bless us with a forevermore life with him. And we find that we are preserved in our goings out and our comings in. That is, as we look to God, as we look unto the Lord, from whence cometh our help, because our help cometh from the Lord, we find that he is the great preserver of our soul. And he is the one who goes before us during the day. He is the one who goes before us in all our activities to work, and to serve, and to minister. He is the one who will be with us even forevermore as we trust in him. We may glorify him here, but we shall have a future glorification with God that God will bless us in evermore, even unto eternity. And so this psalm, this traveler's psalm, is a psalm which we can often look to the Lord, and we can take these words to our own heart, and we can think upon them and meditate upon them and find much strength in this psalm, because it is speaking about that one who travels and serves and ministers in the name of God and knows God. And I trust that you have a deep and abiding appreciation for the Psalms and for this Psalm as well. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Loving Father, we thank you for your grace and mercies to us, for the comfort that we can receive from this Psalm as we meditate upon it, and for the hope unto eternal life, knowing, Father, that you do preserve us and keep us in your loving care and tender mercies. We thank you, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.